Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. I've got a wonderful guest with us today, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first, actually, even before my quotes of the day, I have a couple of announcements. For those of you who are loyal listeners to the station, we have two new shows joining us in a couple of weeks. Starting on the 21st, on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, we have Dr. Georgianne Dow joining us for her show, Journey Through to Awareness. Dr. Dow is a psychoanalyst, and she is going to be doing a show kind of around awareness and consciousness. So, of course, people who love my show will love her show as well. And then on the 22nd, on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, we have another business show joining us. It's from Eric Sarver, who is an employment law specialist, and he's going to be joining us with his show, Employment Law Today. And he wanted to join us because he felt that with the pandemic and with the challenges we have today, that bringing people back to work and with everything going on, that businesses are facing new and unique challenges. And so he's going to be talking about those challenges and helping to shed some light on things from a business and a legal perspective. So we're very grateful for having both of these professionals joining our family here at talkradio.nyc. So I hope you look forward to them. If you have not yet, please make sure you go to talkradio.nyc and sign up for our newsletter so you can keep abreast of all of the latest announcements. These are just the first two shows. We have potentially two more shows joining us by the end of the month, and also several more shows probably joining us by the end of October. We're on a very nice growth spurt right now, and I hope you're staying with us for all of these updates and changes. So first, let's get going with our quotes of the day from the universe and Abraham to kick us off. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. In both relationships and life, trust begets trust. Generosity begets generosity. Love begets love. Be the spark, especially when it's dark. Hubba hubba, the universe. Ah, we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. I think reminding us how the very things that we look for in life are the very things we can embody to attract more of that into our life. If you want to see more trust in your life, you want people to trust you more, be more trustworthy. If you want to see people around you being more generous, be more generous. If you want to feel more love in your life, you want to have more connection, more closeness, be close. Be connected. Love those around you. Indeed, and this is something I've talked about several times before on the show, when we embody the very things we are looking for, that's what's going to attract those kinds of people. And I usually put it very simply. It goes like this. Who are you most attracted to? Are you attracted to people who are lively, energetic, fun, uplifting, empowering? Or are you attracted to people who are dull and boring and depressed and disempowered? Well, the answer, of course, is the first. So if you're attracted to people who embody those kinds of qualities, what makes you think they're not going to be attracted to those exact same qualities? So indeed, when we embody the very qualities we want to attract, that is what will attract those kinds of people, situations, and circumstances in our lives. And it's not rocket science. We just have to look at, you know, what do we like? And just say, well, if I like that, then other people probably like that too. So if you like being around fun people, put more fun into what you do. If you like being around more people who are committed and who are looking to do the right things, do the right things. Be more committed. It's so simple, yet we make it so complicated sometimes. Embody the very aspects you want to attract, and you will definitely attract more of that into your life. All right. Great quote from Mike Dooley in The Universe. We love her quotes. I think rather probably pretty appropriate for our guest today. All right. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Abraham says, "Momentum really is the most important aspect of deliberate creation that you could consciously contemplate. Because what momentum says is, once you get going in that direction, it is more likely that you will continue in that direction." Abraham. You see, two very much aligned quotes. Again, I didn't cherry pick these. These are the actual quotes that came to my inbox this morning. And really, it's once we get started, once trust begets trust and generosity begets generosity, then we start moving in that direction, and then the momentum takes us even further in that direction. And that it's actually by leaning into and leaning towards how we want to feel, what we want to embody, being that very same energy that we want to have around us, it will actually naturally propel us further along in that direction until something like really comes to either halt us or distract us or knock us into another direction. So this is why it's so important to remember what are these qualities we want to embody, because the more we embody them, the more we move in that direction, the easier it becomes, because momentum will naturally carry us through to that further direction. So this is just something to keep in mind. Now, momentum will carry us through. That does not mean that things will not happen occasionally that might knock us off track or might interfere with that pattern. That's okay. That's life. Life is not a linear progression. It is a chaotic mix, as we've seen over these last few months more than ever before. It is a chaotic mix of all kinds of things. Yet if we can keep in mind what are those qualities, energies, attitudes that we want to feel and see around us, to remember to move towards it in that direction, even if we've gotten interrupted, that's okay. The more we lean into it, the more we lean towards that, the easier and easier it becomes, the momentum will continue to carry us forward, and that actually will help us that even when we do hit bumps along the road, you know, over time and over practice and as we get more used to moving in that direction, then we will actually have an easier time to stay on track and be less likely to be pushed off track as time moves along. So, two, wonderful, incredible, lovely thoughts of the day from Mike Dooley in The Universe and from Abraham. And I hope you enjoyed them. I certainly did. And now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show author, clinical counselor, counseling supervisor, and spiritual and life coach, Janine Miller Delaney. Janine has been practicing as a clinical counselor and counseling supervisor and spiritual life coach for more than 30 years. All the while, she has been coming into her own inner spiritual awakening. Janine has had a passion for integrating spiritual lessons and concepts with emotional healing journeys. She has also been a student of A Course in Miracles for about 20 years. Janine has received undergraduate degrees in religion and philosophy, international studies, and German, and a master's of arts degree in counseling. In January of 2019, messages from love itself began coming to Janine as she was faced with and surrendered to various health issues and a victim state of mind. We've all been there. That began a new journey of awakening for Janine that led her to put the writings and lessons they contained in her that are contained in her upcoming book, Your Indelible Worth. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Janine.
Hey, Sam, it's so wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. It's wonderful to have you. So I'm just curious. I mean, it seems like you have been on a rather conscious path most of your life. Was this something that just kind of came naturally to you? Or was this something that, like, you know, you really, like, said, you know, rejected sort of the traditional materialistic kind of point of view and said, no, I want to move in this direction instead?
Good question. Well, I have to tell you, this topic of momentum is perfect.
They always are. It's amazing. These quotes of the day, they're always so apropos.
You know, I have had a handful of, I guess, what some might call mystical experiences throughout my life. Mm-hmm. But I would say that there is a certain degree of denial that so many of us are experiencing. So even though they were profound and potentially life-changing, I didn't fully let myself accept the reality of what I was experiencing. And so it actually wasn't until I hit kind of my own emotional life crisis just back in 2018. I don't know if it was a life crisis, but I realized I had certainly taken on a victim mentality. That I returned back, and it was actually Esther Hicks that inspired me. And I learned that she had given herself permission to really sit and be open to receive what Abraham would say to her. So I, at that point, made that conscious decision, because I've had, like I said, some of those experiences were pretty darn profound for me. And it dawned on me, maybe love itself has more to say to me. And so I committed to really facing my own victim mentality and to bring it to love itself. And I sat with just an open willingness in daily meditation and said, I'm ready to hear whatever you would have me hear. And that's what began to help me change the momentum that I had been picking up from that, you know, too much. I had gotten too absorbed in the news and kind of let that bring me down. You know, I've been counseling for so long. I was carrying the weight of all my clients' issues. So that was all that negative momentum that had picked up. And I realized I am not the victim of this world. So it's time for me to hear what else you would have me hear. And I have to say, I was just absolutely stunned. See, this is the denial at what came and what flowed. And I probably have spent a year and a half coming in and out of accepting the reality that this is so real. And back into that denial of what I would say the ego messages and the voice of separation.
So I'm just curious, because you said you've had mystical experiences throughout your life. Do you remember, like, the first time you had it? Like, how young were you, or how, you know, what were, I'm just curious, like, the timeline, because this is something that's been going on throughout most of your life, correct?
Well, I think as a child, I had a few moments, but I don't know that I let myself absorb them. Right. I think it was as I became an adult early 20s, my first bout, I had cancer when I was just out of college.
Really?
And I think that's one of probably the first one that really struck me was just right as I was entering surgery. So yeah, it started there, but over the years, and maybe it's because I've been doing so much of the work through A Course in Miracles of releasing my blocks. And of course, through therapy, you know, you go to countless trainings on how to get through your own stuff. So perhaps it was that I released more and more blocks over time that the experiences became more vivid and more profound and more clear.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I just want to ask you a couple of questions around like why you actually decided to become a counselor and a therapist. And then let's get into sort of your more recent experiences and what actually kind of came through once you were able to let the walls down, so to speak, and to really let the lessons in. Okay. All right, wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over Facebook Live. And we will be right back after this. Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Janine Miller Delaney all about her journey and her new book, Your Indelible Worth, that's about to come out, right? It hasn't come out just yet, has it?
Not just yet.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, like, what motivated you to become a therapist, to become a counselor all those years ago? What kind of pulled you onto that path?
It's kind of a funny path, actually. I always knew that I wanted to be in the ministry. And that didn't quite pan out in the way that I had expected, because my partner at the time had grown up with a family in the ministry and was very terrified of marrying into that, I think. And as it turns out for me personally, I don't think that would have been the right path, because my spiritual beliefs don't necessarily fit quite into the holes that ministry opportunities often need you to. So, but I knew I wanted to help people, and I decided that my counseling would be my way of helping people learn how to let love into their lives. And so it really was a matter of, you know, where can I best help people? I'm also much more introverted, and I really, there's a part of me that just loves the one-on-one relationships and putting the pieces together and helping people to find and remember who they are.
Yeah. My wife is like that. She's also a therapist, a psychotherapist. But she doesn't do groups, and she doesn't like the idea of doing groups. She's like one-on-one. She works one-on-one with people, and like, that's it. And she's really good at it. But she's no interested in doing groups. So
I guess. Yes. We introverts thrive in the one-on-one.
Yeah.
Now the funny part of it was, you know, I told you that I'd had cancer when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
So my first counseling opportunity actually came with hospice work. And I said, oh no, that is not the direction I want to work with people that are surviving and thriving. And ironically, paradoxically, perhaps that ended up being, you know, some of the most teachable moments and, you know, more powerful moments for me, where I experienced, you know, just the presence of love itself right there in those circumstances. So.
Right. I'm curious. You say you've studied the Course in Miracles for about 20 years. How did you come across A Course in Miracles?
You know, my sister had introduced that. I have two older sisters and an older brother, and my sister had introduced that book to me probably 10 years before I actually tried to read it. And there was a profound moment where I was dealing with a divorce from that first marriage, and I was deeply, of course, in the midst of grief and distress, and I had taken a long walk, and basically a very tearful walk. And I came and I sat under a tree and just let myself be still. And I just sat there and breathed. And that was one of those moments where I just heard this still small voice say to me, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And the messages often seem to come in threes. I heard that three times. And then it was shortly thereafter, I kind of tucked it away again. I didn't really know what to do with that. But it was shortly thereafter that I came across the Course in Miracles again and read it more intentionally, and it, you know, it just happened to show up at just the right time. And you know, in the beginning, it's such a deep, profound book. In the beginning, well, and still, you know, I often begin with, please help me get this. You know,
yes,
I'm just going to
yes.
read just a little at a time and just help me get this.
Yeah, it's one of those teachings that, like many deep spiritual teachings, it has so much in so few words that it's really, you can't rush through it. I mean, you can, but you won't really get it. You won't get the messages, the ideas. And I've found that it's something that the more time you take with it, the quicker you'll actually get to the point where you kind of get it. You get what it's talking about. And then the reading further on, it becomes a little bit easier because you've kind of entrained to the concepts.
That's a good way to put that. Yes, when I first started, it was just a few pages at a time. Well, and it still kind of is, because that's all you need to just really to absorb it.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you said that it's only been in the last couple of years that you've really seen your own kind of victim mentality and how you were surrendering your power to, you know, outside forces. Was there a particular incident, or was there something that sort of catalyzed this for you, or was it more just a gradual buildup over all the years that just finally you got it?
No, I think for this one in particular, you know, I've always, as a therapist, worked hard to do my own stuff.
Right.
You know, so it's there's a progressive, you know, just working through the layers of whatever unresolved trauma or stressors or toxic core messages maybe I've carried. Mm-hmm. But I think the one that really hit me in that moment was the threat of a return of cancer. And I think that combined with the stress I was already feeling between the grief and the weight of my clients and the news, and honestly me spending way too much time in the news, that which I can't control. Wishing I could, you know, so I think it was the culmination of those things that really it, you know, but blended with that message that I've heard love itself speak to me, and I think maybe there is something else I'm meant to hear to do with this. So it was kind of a really, it was a good blend at that point. And I was just open to saying, okay, something else really has to change. And maybe there's something else I meant to hear.
Mm-hmm. And you say that love itself speaks to you or spoke to you. What exactly do you mean by that?
So, well, I've told you that, you know, that I've had these handful of mystical experiences, some of them resoundingly, if you end up, you know, going to my website, it explains, you know, one of the most vivid ones. But so I've had times where it's been a vision that has occurred with a very concrete voice speaking to me, saying as like a directive. And it's just indisputably for me, there's a few of those moments where my ego mind can't even get me to disregard it. It's really, you know, that clearly not me. Now, when I sat, and I've taught meditation for years, but when I sat now with a new intention to say, okay, so I think maybe you have more to tell me and I haven't been willing to listen. So when I sat with that simple willingness and that openness, what would you have me hear? I'd have to say, perhaps, you know, for those of you that also meditate, there are moments where you really feel your vibration rise, where you really feel as if you're in that place where love has picked you up. And, you know, divine love, source, your inner being, I'm not, you know, we all have different words for that.
Right.
But yeah, you may come to that place where you feel, for me, it kind of feels like you come to this clearing, and all of a sudden you're in a different space and that presence is there. And so in the beginning, these words came to me almost very audibly, like I would grab a pen and just start writing. And it always felt like it was responding directly to whatever I was dealing with in that moment. I actually got to the point, I was like telling a friend, I'm a little afraid to stop having issues because I'm afraid I'm going to stop hearing these messages. But what's kind of transpired over time is that, you know, there are times I've written so much and it's kind of like the message, you just start to get it. And so it starts to translate into like a knowing in some of those moments. And so it turns into, it feels like there are more blocks of thought that come and I'm translating more. So it's kind of an interesting mix of variations of how I've experienced love itself. Sometimes very clear and vivid with visions, and other times more as a knowing or a truth that's been revealed. And sometimes, you know, just very audible statements and kind of monologues, I guess would be the word.
So when you really started to listen with this willingness, what kind of message came through that kind of, excuse me, that kind of shook you or woke you up in a sense? Like what were you willing to hear all of a sudden that you realized you weren't willing to hear in the past?
Well, okay. So one of the very first messages that came to me, I'll just read to you maybe just the first couple paragraphs.
Okay. And we just got a couple of minutes before our next break. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sure. I'll just read it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the first one was very early on, when you believe in your heart that you're apart from me, when you fear yourself to be alone in a dangerous world, you cannot but be fearful. What you have forgotten, my beloved child, is that you are never alone. I've never left your side, nor will I ever. So in the beginning, you know, that's just the beginning of, you know, it goes on quite a ways. It was really just helping me to get the point that you are not as alone as you think. You fear that you're living a life of separation and that's your problem.
Right.
And as a therapist, that's what I've come to recognize, is that the initial wound for all of us is that belief that we're separate and alone and have to somehow earn our worth and prove ourselves and, you know, make it on our own.
Right.
So
it's one of those things.
Yeah, that was the first message that came through.
Right, right. And it's kind of one of those concepts that, as a friend of mine likes to say, is very second wave thinking. It's very industrial age thinking that life is, and the universe and is made up of these very discrete, separate parts. And what we're learning now from, you know, sort of quantum mechanics and physics and science, that kind of really just reinforces the same thing that mystics and spiritual people have been saying for thousands of years, is no, we're not separate, we're not discrete, that energy flows from one place to another, and we're actually much more connected and much more a part of the same whole than we perceive with our senses. And so it sounds like that's kind of like the message you got is, you know, we're here and you're a part of all of this. You're not separate and discrete from all of this.
Right. You are not alone at all.
Right.
You think you're alone. And the irony to me is, you know, I feel like I've had such a strong faith and such a sense that there is, you know, something else there with me, but I've never until here recently accepted the reality of what that actually means as I go about living my life. I mean, accepting the reality of that truth is different from, you know, just talking about it or trying to believe in it.
Right.
It feels like there's this spectrum of moving from denial to acceptance of the truth of how real this union this oneness is.
Right. Okay. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about sort of the book, why you decided to put these writings into a book, and what you feel, what other messages came through that you feel are significant that people need to hear today, okay?
Sure.
All right, wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we will be right back after this. Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we're speaking this hour with Janine Miller Delaney. So Janine, you got these messages, like you were able to get past enough of your own blocks to listening what life, source, love, whatever you want to call it, had to say to you. So you began to hear these messages more clearly. Why did you decide that maybe you should be putting them into a book and getting them out there?
Well, first of all, it's just very exciting. What's so exciting about all of it is that for me, it really supports and deepens my understanding of the law of attraction. So, in coming to an awareness of this union, this oneness, I've suddenly come upon the realization, like Lao Tzu says, when you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. So when you come into this, for me, this awakening, this awareness, and in this union with the unified field, with, love itself, with source, that's where we do get to create the life that we want to create. And it is so much more enjoyable and easier than we ever, trained ourselves to believe. Life does not need to be so hard. And so I've really been like practicing integrating all of these messages and lessons over this last, year and a half. And it's just exciting to see how the world, how everything, your life opens up when you realize there are not any limits. Those were all self-imposed. What I've also noticed is that over the course of about a year, it seemed like the messages came in the form of, chunks of lessons. So like for 1 month, I really was supposed to get this lesson. And so I'm again still trying to integrate and live out all of these lessons. So of course we learn what we teach, and plus it's just so darn exciting. So I just really, that's where I want to be. It's what I want to be doing, is helping other people who are excited about this and want to understand this depth of connection and how it supports our ability to create the life that we came here to create, and how we are always being led and being shown. And if we could just trust and surrender a little bit more, a little bit more, we'll start to realize that it's all right there. And it really is. I'm pretty excited. Go ahead.
I can tell. You really are. I was just curious. So one of the first theme was just about you're not alone, we're not separate. What are some of the other like major themes that kind of came through during this time?
Well, one that is just really struck me pretty powerfully so often is just come here in this moment and just breathe with me. I am right here. I am right here within you, as close as your breath. Just breathe. Just let the thinking mind rest, because I'm not in the thinking mind. I am in the stillness. I am in that place where you let yourself just breathe with me and acknowledge that I'm here and acknowledge that you are worthy of this union. And that's why I ended up with the title Your Indelible Worth, because in that process, I realized my own indelible worth. I realized I am worthy of this union. I'm worthy of this joy, this peace. I don't need to be so addicted to the suffering and to the struggling anymore. And I really, from a counseling perspective, you can't teach worthiness. You need to allow people to come into that space where they realize, where they remember who they really are, and that divine love is right here within each of us, loving us far beyond anything that we can comprehend, beyond the value that we esteem for ourselves, so much more. So, after a while there, when I kept hearing this, just breathe with me, it struck me too that, just the breath, just coming into the breath unlocks the fight, flight, or freeze response. It unlocks the trauma response. It unleashes the response that the vagus nerve communicates up to the amygdala that says, hey, we're getting chased by a bear, we really ought to panic. And so many of us are living in that state of, fight or freeze or flight, and we don't even realize it. So how significant it occurred to me just to be hearing over and over, just breathe. It's the divine antidote to all of our stress. Just come back to being present right here with me. I'm here.
And indeed,
So
like
it helps to unlock.
and that's like what all of meditation about in a way is paying attention to the breath, because when we just breathe and pay attention to our breath, we're present. We don't have any other worries. We're not distracted. We're not disassociating. We're present to our breath. And indeed, everything comes and goes with the breath.
Yes. And we release the judgment, we release the expectations, we release all the stuff of the mind that wants to keep us feeling separate.
So, as these messages started coming through, was it difficult to kind of integrate them into your daily life? Or because of all the work that you've been doing over all the years, was you the soil more fertile, so to speak, and were the plants able to grow more quickly?
Well, I have to say, because I decided, okay, this is time to start practicing what you're hearing and start trusting in the truth of this and the reality of this. So I've made a huge shift from the private practice, which I'm still doing a little bit, but to really investing in writing the book and taking my time to, to reach out and to learn how to do, websites and to create. It's been a large challenge to let go of the ego mind that says you should be working and producing and earning an income, and I've really surrendered all of it and let love itself show me that it's right there showing up for me, the law of attraction concepts. So I've really had to go back and forth between just practice what you preach, practice what you're learning. It's scary when I don't, when I'm not giving myself permission to generate the income I used to generate, but I'm trusting that I will be supported. But what's beautiful is I've been completely supported. What's beautiful is money has shown up in unexpected random places, and it's just been so fun to see how supported I have been. And I get that message over and over. Quit trying to figure it out. Just trust it's there, and I will lead you. And every single time that I do trust and surrender, I find that I am, the doors open, I'm being led where I need to go. So it's just, I've been trying to just practice what I've been learning, and that's really what this whole journey has been about. How can I practice this and then share it with those who are ready to hear?
What's been the most difficult part of practicing and applying all these things that have been coming through in today's environment?
Well, honestly, it's getting through the ego messages, the small self, the worries about what other people will think, so many people are not ready to hear that this love, this presence, the concepts of the law of attraction are real. They, so many people really want to stay stuck in this push and pull fight, that's going on even in our, in our nation, and just think maybe it just can't absorb these messages. So for me to learn how to not worry, how to let go of that small self that says people should like me and approve of what I'm saying or agree with me, or I should, help them get this, or be happy with me at least, not be mad at me. So, I mean, just learning how to get out of my small self and trust that this is, none of this is as significant as we think it is in the grand scheme of our union with love, with source. So that's probably been my greatest challenge. Now, with that said, also, just it's been a huge learning curve to learn all the social media and the website development.
The technical stuff, yeah.
Technology, yes. But this morning, 9 a.m., my new website launched.
Oh, wonderful.
It's theheartsway.org.
Theheartsway.org. Okay, wonderful.
And what I'm most thrilled about is that the process of that unfolding helped me to provide on there what's called the Journeys page. And it's a meditative type experience that helps people to move into that place of feeling and accepting their worthiness to be at one with Source, and their worthiness to receive all that that entails. You know, I'm worthy of a life of joy. I'm worthy of a life of ease. I'm worthy of whatever my heart's greatest desire is. So it's a journey that helps you move into that space. And really, I just mirrored it off of what I felt love itself had done for me. It just the process that, of how that happened for me, I was able to put into what I call the comma journey, COMMA.
Cool.
So if you go to the site, you'll get to try that.
And I've posted it in the Facebook live stream
of the messages that I've written.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I've posted it to the Facebook live stream.
Yeah.
So anybody listening there, you can just click on the link. And if you're not, it's www.theheartsway, part is plural, or apostrophe, yes, but no apostrophe, .org. Okay, we're going to take our last break of the show. And when we come back, let's just talk a little bit more about the book. When can people expect it? What you hope people can get from it? And then maybe we'll do a little prognostication, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Janine Miller Delaney all about her sort of spiritual experiences and the coming to what brought her to write the upcoming book, Your Indelible Worth. So Janine, do you have a sense of when the book will be out, when it will be finished?
The book is essentially finished in written form, but not yet fully typed up.
Okay.
So here's the thing that I've learned in my process of learning how to get an agent is that this is a very slow process. So I'm having to, introverts are not really big with social media.
Yeah.
So I am learning how to develop the social media platform so that the main publishers will want to publish my book. Now, with that said, I'm a little torn at this point. I'm starting to wonder maybe I should go with an independent publisher. I'm not sure if I should wait for one of the bigger publishers. I've got some good potentials with agents, so I'm excited about that. But the whole
It's
thing is when you're seeking to publish in the spirituality field, you really need to have a large social network following. So that's been the process. But what's occurred to me is that I really just want to get these messages and these lessons out. So when people subscribed, I'm sending out messages of love, on a regular basis.
Wonderful.
Here, as far as helping people to get those messages, I'm trying to put them, like on my site through the Kama journeys, and contemplating doing an app perhaps. So I'm suggestions about what they feel like would be the best way.
We'll talk
It
after the
sounds I
show.
also do. I'm moving. Okay,
Let's talk after the show. I got plenty of ideas for you because I'm
Well,
actually, and it's interesting hearing you because I'm about to publish my first book, which I'm self-publishing, through Amazon,
I saw.
and comes out November 17th. Remember, listeners, November 17th, Everyday Awakening, Sam Leibowitz. Pre-order your book now. But I'm doing a whole big
I
campaign and
understand.
stuff. But I've learned a lot in the process, and I know, and I understand the dealing with publishers and wanting you to have a platform and everything else. But the things that I'm learning is sometimes nowadays, actually, with just the way publishers are, it's sometimes, not always, but sometimes better to self-publish first, let your sort of initial book pick up some steam, and then when it comes time to publish your second book, then publishers get much more interested. So sometimes you do what you do first, and then it's more about what comes afterwards. Do you I'm curious, so do you have more books after your Indelible Worth, or?
I absolutely do. The next one will be called Claim. Claim.
Ah,
Learning
wonderful.
to accept and claim the life you came to live. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. So, what do you hope once the book does come out and people start reading it and people are getting these messages, if they sign up on the website, go to theheartsway.org. What do you hope people get from these messages? What do you hope the exposure to this material will do for people?
If I can just help people have a little more peace to start with, that would be a really great place to be. But I really believe that these messages are transformative and that they help us to unlock and shift the toxic messages that we carry and continue to repeat throughout our lives. So I really, the ultimate is to, if people are able to really stick with it and commit to giving themselves this time, that they too will break free and get to this place of realizing there are no limits, there's no boxes. I get to create the life that I want, and I am fully supported and get to experience how this really works out. So there's a good continuum, but it certainly wouldn't hurt just to start with some more peace.
Yes, absolutely. In today's world, we could all use a little more peace, right?
But there's so much more on the other side as well.
Yes. Now, since the lockdown happened and the pandemic and all the craziness that we're experiencing in just the last few months, what do you see as sort of the spiritual lesson in all of this for people that you've seen through the messages that you've received?
Well, just a little while ago, I noticed how interesting it was that my turning point came when I realized, that was within the messages I got as well, you're making yourself sick. And so at some level, a little while before this pandemic hit, I was really confronted with that reality that I was creating my own physical illness as well. Now, I think it's really just a chance for us to come back and find our peace again and realize that things are not always exactly as they seem. Our perception is creating so much of our own experience. and how we perceive, you know, when we stress on all of the negative, how, you know, what a strong effect it has on our immune system, and you know, how it just trickles down into mental and physical problems. We can only turn back. I think one of the most powerful things we can do for each other is to turn inward and forgive ourselves and let go of our own inner struggle and judgment, so that we can look more with love on each other and realize that we are, you know, as we began with, you know, so much more connected than we realize.
Right. Exactly. And that, you know, during this time when, let's say, our ability to go different places and go outward and like we used to, that this is really an opportunity for us to go more inward, and that perhaps maybe this is an opportunity for the world that was in such a frenetic, crazy pace to slow down a little bit and to pay a little bit more attention to our breath and to see what's going on inside of us, instead of being so completely focused on what was going on outside of us.
Right. And so wrapped up in our sense of powerlessness that we end up fighting more and creating more turmoil.
Right. So we've just got 1 minute left to the show. Just one last question. Are you less or more hopeful about the future now?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's a loaded question. You know, I see time so much differently than I ever did before. I'm more hopeful because I realize that the pain that we think is here is really, you know, passing, and that we really are at home already with love itself, and we're all more safe, more complete, more whole than we ever realized or have let ourselves realize. So 100% more hopeful from a whole new perspective.
Okay, beautiful. What a great note to end the show on. Thank you so much, Janine. I really appreciate your time, taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show today. And I really do look forward to seeing your book come out in a big way. And again, just to remind everybody to learn more about Janine's work and the book, please go to theheartsway.org. Right? I got that right?
You got it right, yes. No apostrophe.
No apostrophe, right? Right. Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Janine. So everybody, thank you, of course, my loyal listeners, for tuning in today. And thank you for joining us on today's show. Please, lots of new shows coming on board the station these days. Go to talkradio.nyc to see our schedule and for our upcoming shows. And of course, stay tuned. Coming up next is Ken Forster and his show, Voices of Courage, followed later today by Antonia with her show, So Now You Know, at 5 p.m., and Graham Dobbin and his show, The Mind Behind Leadership. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you next week.